What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Will Conkle joins us. A little Will Conkle Tuesday as he's with us for the next hour. And if you know Will, man, he's a insider with the Texans. He's there all the time with the Astros. You hear us with comments. He's the one who gave us the where we were very, very proud of Joe Espada when he was asked, hey, so when do you expect Jeremy Pena to come back? I'm not gonna answer that. Is what he said.
I'm trying to do the best I can.
And but no, man, Will is out there all throughout the city covering all the sports teams, and we're happy to have him in with us. And Will, I almost want to just pick up, because I'm looking at a lot of what people are saying, and I think we were talking through the break, so you heard the conversation. Clint has been on a big thing for this team is CJ Stroud taking the next step with his leadership. We played a cut of Joe Burrow having a similar situation that CJ Stroud probably ran into many times. To be honest, Clint, I'm almost shocked that he just didn't lose it, but with how bad it was happening, how much he was getting hit, and how much pressure he was under. And now that we know the miscommunication and how far apart guys were within that office, I am surprised that there wasn't a visual, because I see people texting it. Well, how do you know he's not doing that? I've been a bit surprised that CJ Stroud, that as much as he was getting drilled and getting hit and there were issues, clearly a frustration, there'd have been a camera that picked up CJ Stroud showing frustration, right? If that would have happened. But I know we've been discussing this.
Let me respond.
Go ahead and jump in.
If the stories about Bobby Slowick are true, if CJ Stroud were doing these things, it would have overflowed in a major way, like grabbed him by his polo on the sideline. If the stories we're hearing about how bad it was offensively, like there's about eight guys that should have grabbed Bobby Slowick by the polo and lifted his feet up off the ground.
This is why I say that getting rid of Laremy Tunsil is an addition by subtraction, because
absolutely.
I think that CJ fell in line behind Laremy, because this was really Laramie's team. Laremy was the dude forever.
You think this was Laramie's team?
I think it was by default. As in, CJ came in younger, a rookie, new. Laramie's been here. He's been the best. He's got that contract. He is the best lineman on that team. He ran that room for better or worse, with leadership or not. And I think CJ was timid. He fell in line with that. He respected Laremy. He liked Laremy. Unfortunately, Laramie's not the guy that's going to rally the troops, and he's not going to read the riot act when it needs to be done.
I just never even got a feel that Laramie wanted to be his team.
I agree. That's the problem. I agree. But think about what was here before CJ and D'Amico. Like, whose team was it?
Yeah.
Who gives a damn? Like, who cares? It didn't matter.
I think it was Jerry Hughes' team.
It was Laremy by default. Like, when you're on a bad team, the best player, it's always their team. Just the way it goes, right? It's always the shortstop.
Well, you look, we talk team all we want. We're talking offensively here, and there is no doubt about it. The highest paid player on the team, the guy that the coach is out there stroking in the media, the guy that is one of the best in the league and is revered as one of the best in the league, and then that guy is, whether you like it or not, and fair or foul, that guy is – I do think he's an alpha. I just don't think he cares enough to be a guy that's going to do anything and everything it takes to win a championship.
I'm talking about CJ.
I'm talking about Laremy Tunsil. Oh, okay. I think Laremy Tunsil is going to do everything that Laremy Tunsil needs to do and can do for him to be one of the best in the league. I do not think that Laremy Tunsil has any interest whatsoever ultimately at going above and beyond to make those guys around him better, or to be pissed off when your offensive line unit can't run the ball, or to be pissed off when your offensive line unit can't pass protect. Like, that should have been enough. Laremy Tunsil should have – we should have heard from him weekly last year about how we were going to fix this thing. Like, this is unacceptable. Trent Williams would have been ripping people's heads off in the building, right? So, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like, to expect C.J. Stroud – in his first 2 years with Laremy Tunsil in the building, with Kenyon Green running lap for false starts, but nobody makes Laremy Tunsil, you know, run lap for false starts when he does it in the game multiple times. Like, CJ can't do though. That is a D'Amico problem. CJ Stroud it's unfair to expect him to do anything. But now that he's out of the building, to your point, I think your point's very valid. Now that he's out of the building, there's a void. Somebody can take over this offensive unit, and it needs to be seven.
The fact that this is going to come off as bitter as a media member. It's not, I swear to God, I promise you. The fact that Laremy Tunsil refuses to go on camera and talk to the media says everything you need. He let everybody else answer the questions. A leader gets up and takes the questions, takes the shrapnel, and goes down swinging, goes down protecting his dudes. That's not what Laremy did. Yep. Laremy refused to talk to the media. Like, that's it. That's the bottom line. You don't talk to media for us. You do it for your teammates. You do it for your dudes next to you. That's why you do it. When you leave the clubhouse or locker room early, guess what? Everyone else has to answer, where's Laremy? Where's Joe when he left early? Where's so-and-so? Now they got to take that BS.
Text line coming through. These are back-to-back texts. This take by Clint will always be stupid to me, then followed by Clint is spot on here. CJ's got to find his inner mother effer to speak up harder on this offense.
I'll be honest with you. I'll make it personal. I don't know how anybody whatsoever that's ever played team sports and has ever even had a discussion about leadership looks at that point that just in its shortest form, simplest form of it's, there's a void offensively from a leadership perspective, and CJ Stroud needs to be that guy. Like, how can that be a stupid take? The only way is it's coming from an individual that just places zero importance on leadership and or has never been a leader or played team sports and had a leader to where that dude was a game changer, a difference maker. I don't know any way to put it.
Or you're a CJ simp and you're going to ride or die with them, and you never think you can do any wrong, and you refuse to acknowledge the fact that it wasn't there. And here for whoever thinks that it's a bad take, promise you, watch them this season. I think
you expect to see change.
I expect change, because I don't think D'Amico's going to allow CJ to be as timid and be on his heels as he was as a leader last year. Like, this year is different.
For CJ, everyone knows that.
And it's not the getting.
I knew you.
Getting,
there's no chance in hell you were done.
Well, no, I mean, it's just I could go on for days about this.
I agree.
It's just like, if you're so much of a fan of a team or a person that you are blind to the reality of even just the ability to have a conversation about leadership, like that is wild to me. My point, Ron, is it's not a knock. It's not a knock at all. It's like it's an unknown for me. I don't know. It will become a knock if he doesn't take advantage of this void of leadership. It will become something that, in my opinion, is going to hold could hold him back. But right now, it's stating the obvious, in my opinion.
I think CJ is a natural uplifter. I think that is his way of. If you see him, I think naturally he is an uplifting of people. Hey man, you're the best. Like, if Nico has a drop, you know, or John Metchie has a drop, No, man, you're good. You're good. Like, I think he is a natural uplifter. I still think you can. I think Tony Dungy found a way to find his inner MF-er, you know, and he handles things differently. He's not Bill Parcells. He handles things differently. I just think CJ probably has to grow and find whatever that inner thing is that allows him to be able to be firm, to be, you know, assertive in, hey, man, we got to get this across. We got to get this across. Because, I bet you Altuve, who I think's more of a natural uplifter, I'm certain there's probably a line with Jose Altuve, too, where he probably, all right, hey, guys, you know, however he would say it.
Flip, flip, flip on this burger.
God, don't play that.
You knew where I was going.
I hate you.
To your point with CJ, I do think he's a natural uplifter, and I think there's a time and place for that. Like, D'Amico was an uplifter in the media. I know behind closed doors, D'Amico ain't all that positive. He's breaking your ass down, we're going to have serious conversations, and he'll tell you what time it is. I don't know if CJ was like that behind closed doors as much. I would hesitate to say so. But I want to hear you light them up after wins a little bit more than after, like, after losses. When it's all bad, everybody knows when things are going badly. Not everybody understands where you need to improve when you're winning. That's when you need the accountability the most, because you can win and not play well. And if you start relying on those bad habits while you're winning, that's your biggest problem. That's when you get in real big trouble.
All right, let's move to the best team in baseball. Is that?
Best organization.
Is that who the Astros are? All right, Will's already separated it. We'll discuss that coming up next. Razor! Razor! Omaha!
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Little Will Conkle Tuesdays here with us for an hour. This conversation continued in the break from us and many folks here on YouTube, Twitch, and the text line. So it's always good to have you guys in and have you involved in the conversation. So we enjoy this. Well, it makes us number one around here. We enjoy that conversation. You kind of separated there in the tease, and you can jump in on this too, YouTube and Twitch and the text line, 713-572-4610. Is this the best team in baseball after what they just did to the Dodgers? I know, listen, last night happened, right? That's going to be baseball. The Guardians can't lose them all, and the Astros can't win them all. So that's going to happen, especially when you put some of the guys out. But overall, as crazy as it is, and some of the lineups they've put out there, some of the pitchers they've run out there, is this the best team in baseball?
Man, so I was just talking about this on my YouTube channel. Go find Kicking It with Kunkle or at Will Kunkle 5. I do not think this is the best team in baseball, but I do think that the Astros are the best organization in all of sports, which is allowing them to be a good team right now because they're overcoming the fact that their roster just ain't good.
I can't go there with you.
They've done it for 10 years, two World Series, seven straight ALCSs. They're the only team in the wild card era seven straight ALCSs.
I know what you're saying. I just think whatever this stuff that happens with their training staff and their injury stuff,
man, why
that is that? I'm sorry. That's got to hold. That has got to hold them.
And they still overcome that.
They overcome it. But I mean that got to take a mark. That's got to take a mark as the best.
It's not ideal
for them to over the years lose AJ Hinch, lose Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker, Carlos Correa, Yuli Gurriel, Dallas Keuchel, like Garrett Cole, and still have success is crazy. And for them to now do this with a roster that, if you're being honest, is not going to last all season long is so impressive and so much fun to watch. It's more fun to watch this roster have success than if they had Alex and Kyle, because you're kind of expecting it, just waiting to get to the playoffs. These guys are exceeding expectations, and as a sports fan, like, that's the best.
Well, I think the point that is being made here, the culture of the Astros, the chemistry of the Astros, the chemistry in the clubhouse is greater than their parts. I think it's hard to see that when Tucker's raking and Bregman's there doing his thing, even though he wouldn't be by now because he's a slow starter typically in Houston. And you got Verlander and you got Cole and you got Springer and you got Correa. You got all these different guys. that are contributing. And yeah, if you're seven games up in the division, you're like, yes, this is what you should do in a bad division. This team should do. But it's easy to see the point you're making right now. It's easy to see the point you're making right now to be like, yeah, man, there's something different here. When you reload Carlos Correa leaves and Jeremy Pena is a guy, and now we see who Jeremy Pena is, you're like, oh, okay, maybe it is talent, right? When you see Verlander leaves and Hunter Brown steps up and starts doing his thing, and then several guys get hurt, and Spencer Arrighetti comes in the fold, and he's dealing, and all these different guys, it's like, oh, well, they just got a great system. They got great players. We're at a point right now where it's like there's no denying, and you see people on that cover Major League Baseball. I saw our guy Robert Flores on his show on MLB Network. I saw them doing a little special on the Astros. And it's just you can't deny it at this point. If you got any baseball credibility whatsoever, you just can't deny the fact that that organization has the secret sauce. There's something special about the clubhouse. And anybody that joins it is just in a position mentally, physically, spiritually, everything else to go out there and put their best foot forward. And guy after guy, player after player after player continues to do it.
And I talked to Joe Espada about this yesterday because it fascinates me. It's doing the little things well, consistently, that make you so good at whatever it is, whether it's in the Texans. Like, that standard on offense has to be held, and it wasn't held last year, and we saw it, and it was obvious. The Yankees have a great roster. They went to the World Series last year. They got embarrassed on the world stage because they couldn't run the bases and they couldn't catch the ball. Like, it showed, and they were embarrassed for it. The Astros consistently do that stuff. They're the best defensive team in all of baseball. They're going first to third at a great rate right now. Like, they're doing the things that you have to do all the time that are really, really boring, really well, just to win. And, of course, they're pitching well. Like, it's
What
it's
about
crazy
Altuve's
to
base running? Tyler wants to know about Altuve.
He's not a good base runner. Like that.
That's you one did. Way to say it.
Stop one it. More just, thing you're overcoming,
to take
Will.
It with the Hall of Famer.
He's not, yeah. Like,
he's a Hall of Famer.
Whatever.
You got to just accept
He's not
it.
The perfect player. Every team will take
Your
him.
Your nine may get hurt a little bit.
Oh, boy, a lot of bit. But that's the point. And that's why Joe Espada is the perfect guy for this job. And he's earned his stripes last year. Because when they started off so badly, and you want to go talk about Mr. Positivity. In a game of 162 games, his positivity last year, I think, rang through the clubhouse because he wasn't flipping tables all the time. He wasn't going nuts. He wasn't trying to light it up because there was no place for that. Like, it's a long season. These guys have done it. They have a culture. They have an organization that lends itself to that. And now he has these guys, and they believe in him. He believes in them. They come in. You step in, and you just do your job.
That was a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, as Clint said, you're able to see it much more now. And these guys, like, they have, it seems like a night, they have multiple, who the hell's that guy?
That's your question.
But constantly.
Like, who's that guy? Like, who is that guy? They had, like, four of them in the lineup. They had a who is that guy starting on the mound. Now, I know Colton Big C has got 10 starts in, but still, he still fits in the, who the hell's that guy? Because you certainly didn't have Colton Gordon. Well, maybe you did, Will. You didn't have Colton Gordon giving you 10 starts.
The first time I see these guys is in Palm Beach, and that's the last time I see half these guys.
Tremel goes for a 3-run bomb. Oppo yesterday, that he's a who the hell's that guy. The Zach Shortfella.
It's
crazy.
It's become, to your point, Will, it's fascinating because it's become when you're not just watching your team play and watching your team have success. It, like, literally, when I'm watching Tremel last night, I'm thinking, can he be the next guy? And I'll be damned if he doesn't hit a home run. You're like, whoop, there you go. I mean, it's just, honestly, when I was up in the Hill Country, I didn't catch a lot of the Dodgers series, unfortunately. But when I did, I turned on, like, who in the hell is Short? Zach Short? What are we doing here? Why are we resting guys? Well, I'm checking in. Why are we resting guys, right? And all of a sudden, the guy gets a 2-run single. I'm like, well, hell.
They had that Weems fella in the seventh inning of a tie ball game in Colorado last week. Like,
that's what fans love most about sports, when it's your guys, not when you have mercenaries. When you have your guys coming up and they're exceeding expectations. Like, look at the Houston Cougars and what they did this year. No one knew who that roster was. Kelvin Sampson's built a culture in there that makes that team greater than the sum of its parts. Same thing. That's what you need with an offensive line. That an offensive line has to work together, be better than they are individually. That's what we're hoping is the case this year. And that's what's happening with the Astros right now. Like, that roster, you look at it like, probably not. Probably not a playoff team. And they're cruising to the playoffs right now.
Yeah, they are cruising. Speaking of,
I'll see you in October.
There you go. Damn, Jim. Speaking of the who the hell are that guy? They've got several of them. Gordon last night who pitched, Hummel, Trammell, Short, Corona is now playing. I think Brandon Walter, he fits in it. Gusto, Shea Whitcomb, he came up. He said, I'll hit a blast.
When he came up. Continues for Shea.
You talked about Trammell. You said, I think he may be the next one. Any of these guys that are, as I'm saying, fit into the who the hell is that guy category, you get the sense that any of those guys will actually help this group or be a part of what's happening down the stretch when they play games that really, really matter? You see any of these guys?
I think it's on a need basis. I think any of these guys can help the team based on who's available, who's hurt, and who has to step up. Like, I think they all have the capability.
Yeah, I think I had to pick one, because I think when DiCenzo gets back, he's going to take some spots. You know, obviously that allows Dubon to move back in. When Jordan comes back, that's when Chaz comes back. So they got a lot of, I think, priority players over these guys that we're watching right now. But I think Gusto's got a real shot, not as a starter. Please, I hope Lance McCullers doesn't let that happen. But not as a starter, but as that long relief.
Hell yeah.
In that long relief, when anybody gets in trouble in the second or third inning, you got a guy that can come give you three or four innings, maybe even more, in Ryan Gusto. He's got some experience coming out of the pen as well as being a starter. I think he's the one to me, and for whatever reason, he just continued. What is it? Are we at three or four straight outings now where it's been not good, but like really, really good?
I thought he had a stinker mixed in there. I know the last one against the Dodgers, he goes six innings and one run.
Yeah, well, so. that just like he's the one to me, Ron, that I think has a real chance.
The crazy thing is also then you got Luis Garcia and Christian Javier who have filled those roles you're talking about, potentially breathing down their necks, and they kick up. But to the point both of you are making, you don't know who is going to be available, who's going. Mm-hmm.
But what you're doing is you're training and grooming guys to be that postseason hero. Those are the postseason heroes that, like, if Hunter Brown goes out there and gets shelled in an inning of third, you got to have a quick hook because the playoffs, in comes Gusto, six innings, shut down ball, catch you in the game and you win. Or saves the pen, you win the next game. Like, those are your heroes in the playoffs, and that's what they're creating right now.
Yeah. I wouldn't have said Hunter, but I hear you.
The point is, something unexpected, Ron.
That smelled like Lance, though. I've seen Lance do that twice this year. Just blow up in the first.
We got to go. You been to Lance's coffee shop?
No. Yeah, Maven. That's why I sat down with him on Kicking with Kunkel.
I mean, you did it there.
Yeah. It's good. They have a great carajillo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No. Real good. Man.
Made for LeCor 43.
Now that he's out of that luxury category, I think I can go.
It's good.
Love a good Catahoula.
I'm checking it out.
It's good. It out.
All right, as Will continues to ride with us, as we move into 3 o'clock hour, think about this, and we'll discuss on the other side. We were talking about C.J. Stroud and his leadership. Overall, we know who they're chasing. We know who they have to beat and pass. How good does the Texans' offense have to be to reach their goals of a Super Bowl? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Wow, LeBron no-look pass to Eric Dampier. The old, what college did he go to, Ron? What college did he go to?
Mississippi State.
That's right, baby. You probably could have watched him play at Twin Peaks.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back in as The Drive continues. Clint's in the building, Tyler's in the building, and of course, it is a Will Kunkel Tuesday as the Big Kunk is in the building. Yeah, I love the bark he goes for. Okay. And there's Tyler.
Let him out.
And then let the things out. Real quick. Quick update as the Astros send out their
novel of injuries.
The roster injury report. We'll go to the ones that matter. Sorry, Pedro.
A quick check into the infirmary.
Leon and Jacob Melton and Brendan Rodgers will go past you. But Spencer Urgetti has the recovering from the broken right thumb. He is in Florida, scheduled to throw live BP coming up on the 8th of July through a 30-pitch side session on Friday. J.P. France, another one we don't talk about a lot, in Florida going through a planned deload. Next live BP scheduled for Wednesday, the 9th. Luis Garcia on Monday began a rehab assignment in Florida. He threw two innings, 27 pitches. Christian Javier also threw live BP on Monday, two innings, 35 pitches. Yordan Alvarez continues to work out, has not yet begun to hit.
Yordan.
Is that good?
I don't know, man. I'd rather them just surprise me and just have them in a uniform and run out there and not ever know because their updates suck. Chaz McCormick begun a rehab assignment at AAA Sugarland on Friday. Zach DiCenzo continues with his running and throwing, but has not progressed to hitting yet. So, and Jeremy Pena working out in the weight room, no baseball activities yet. So those are the important updates, injuries, and there were four to five other guys on the list that I just, at this point, don't
are you name. Expecting Yordan to play again this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Being a hand, absolutely.
Yes.
The fact he hasn't had surgery makes me feel good.
Well, yes. The fact that he hasn't had surgery is the only reason why I'm saying
yes. Do we know that he hasn't had surgery?
I don't think he's had surgery.
Not, as far as we know, he hasn't.
But
and it was unrelated to the broken bone. They were saying it was inflammation around all of it that's led to the pain, which is it just pain management?
Now, the other part for me is, do I believe that we're out of the woods of something more? needing to happen to heal this, like surgery or something else, I'm not completely out of the woods of that personally, because I don't know how confident I am that they,
I don't
the
think
way
they
evaluate it and everything. So I don't know. I would think the way they came back last week, so positive of, all right, we got a second opinion and everything looked good and just need some rest. I would think he comes back, but I mean, I don't know with this guy. I mean, they've had to shut him down twice in this situation. First time they didn't know it was broken. Then it was 60% broken. Then 80% broken. Then they had to shut him down again. Like, so I don't know. I hope so. I do. I want to see what I believe the best hitter in the game on the field, playing in the games that matter.
Best hitter, huh?
Yeah, I do. I did, just all around hitter. Just everything that he can do. I don't think there's any weaknesses. I know there's some good ones. I don't think there's any weaknesses. And I'm not going to get sucked in. I'm 10 toes down on my thoughts. So
dumb or not.
It ain't dumb. It definitely ain't dumb.
It ain't right.
You may disagree. It definitely
no one
ain't
should
dumb.
Give an F about Aaron Judge.
Judge is the best hitter in baseball right now. I mean, he is. You can say what you want about his postseason play, and he choked and he was horrible. But to say he's not better than Yordan is wild.
No,
he's better. He's hitting like 380.
Yeah, I mean,
75, 80 ribs.
Yeah, this
God
this,
knows how many tanks.
This year year he has hit for better average.
Last year he was 340.
But I just think overall, to me,
to you.
In terms of yeah, it's my opinion. Hell, yeah. yours is Aaron Judge.
Mine's based on fact. That's it. Yours is based on emotion.
No, I don't have any emotion with either one of them. I'm just telling you what I look out there, and I look at it. He can go to any field. He can drive it. He can hit it out of the ballpark. There's no weaknesses. And another.
What's Aaron's?
Well, I guess playoffs.
So yeah, for sure. Space. For sure. I agree.
Mean, when it matters.
I agree.
When it counts.
What's Yordan's?
Injury.
Hands.
But when he plays, to me, Yordan Alvarez is the best all around hitter in baseball. To me, I love Aaron. I think Aaron is great. I think Aaron's a better power hitter, but all around.
He's a better average hitter.
All around.
No one should give an F about Aaron Judge.
For their career, overall, to me, I think he is the better hitter. Now, if you want to do this, no. All right. How good does this offense need to be for them to reach their goals? Because we know they got to get past the Chiefs. They've got to get past the Bills. And oddly enough, the team that seems to struggle the most with those two teams is the team that it appears that the Texans struggle the most against, and that's the Ravens. Those three teams, to me, in the way that Will believes that Aaron Judge is so much better than Yordan Alvarez, I think it's pretty clear that those three teams are teams that are ahead of the Texans. And they have probably created a good distance between them. They've got to catch those teams. But we also understand the defense that it looks like the Texans are going to put forth, so they don't have to score 30 a game to win. But looking at this, how good does this offense need to be? They were 22nd ranked last year, 19th in scoring with just under 22 a game. How good do they got to be for this team to get to their goals?
They got
to
be a lot better offensively to get to that goal. I think they're going to be better.
Really?
I think they're going to be a better offense because there's so much room for improvement, whether it's from the OC position or the offensive line or CJ, whatever it might be. I think they're going to be better. But can they get into the next tier with the Chiefs, Ravens, and Eagles? That's the question. The question isn't whether they can win their division. Are they better than the Colts, the Jaguars, and the Titans?
Yeah, no, like, we're not talking about
that. That's not your measuring stick, no. Right? Like, your measuring stick isn't getting to the playoffs. It's not winning your division. Your measuring stick is winning the AFC and winning the Super Bowl. So can you get to that next tier? I don't think they can this year, but I do think they take another step to where we thought they were going into last year after rookie CJ's rookie
but
year.
But Will, you agree. They have the potentials, what feels like a championship defense.
1,000%.
They have the potentials because the Chiefs, let's just be honest, the last 2 years, Clint, we've said and talked about it, they damn sure ain't had the best offense in the AFC. Like the Bills and the Ravens have been better the last 2 years. Hell, 2 years ago, the Texans offense was probably better than that Chiefs drop ball outfit that they ran out there. But they were good enough to get to their goals of getting to the Super Bowl. So they don't have to be amazing offensively if this defense is playing a certain way. We've seen teams do it. But how good, I'm saying, is with this defense together, how good do they got to be?
I think we've got to be, and really not we, the media, the league, the analysts have to be blown away with the efficiency. Like, to me, that's where it's at. I mean, one, we've seen C.J. Stroud play that brand of ball. Two, the defense is that good to where if you just stay ahead of the chains, don't turn the football over, you get points when points are there to be had. You don't lead the league in sacks and pressures. You have answers for that. Like, if you're just an efficient offense that has answers, I think this team can win a championship. It's not about being explosive. It's not about having all these weapons. It's not about establishing the run. To me, it's about being efficient. Whatever, you got a quarterback that can manage situations. We've seen him do it. Can manage situations as well as anybody in the league. I don't know if you have a quarterback that can live the life of a Pat Mahomes, where he's the most clutch player out there, that when the game dictates, he somehow turns and starts doing not quite Lamar Jackson, but extending plays and stuff with his legs, and all of a sudden he's making these plays in clutch moments. I don't know that you, whether we have that, CJ has that or not. I know you have that. Be efficient. Let the opponent beat themselves 90% of the time. And I know he has the ability to be aggressive when need be. But efficient to me should be written on every wall on the offensive side of the building for the Texans.
Two things for me. This team has to be able to win football games multiple ways. Like, last year was all about their defense, and the offense just had to keep their head above water.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to contribute. They got to be the reason they win, at least from time to time. Now, also, I think it's going to be a process. This year, they are, like, last year we came in thinking they were going to light the world on fire, and they were not good at all. This year, I think it's going to be a figuring it out process, and I think when they get to the end of the year, I think they are in that conversation of being in that tier of winning a Super Bowl. That's my prediction, but in the beginning of the year, they're nowhere near that tier right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. One, I wonder how good this defense is going to be, because I think...
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That plays a part of it. Like, are we talking...
They can't get leaned on like they did last year.
But I mean, are we talking top five, top three? Oh, are we talking...
Money they're spending, draft picks they're spending, you better be top five.
Or are we talking top 10, right? Not better, but what?
Three.
However it shakes out. Because to me, that determines how good... But this team has to, in those games, right? Maybe not all year. In those games, like, you got to... Even with your defense, you play the Bills, the Ravens, and the Chiefs. Like, you gotta bring 27 to the table. Like, you gotta bring points to the table, and obviously not turn the ball over. But they have to have the ability against those teams to bring, you know, 27, 30 points in those games. And I think, I don't know if I believe they're able to do that yet.
We'll not right
see
now
with this offensive line. But to me, that's where it's got to be. You're right. Like, I don't give a rip what they do against the Titans, what they do against the Steelers, what they get. If we're talking about trying to reach those goals, they got to be able to play Mahomes, Jackson, and Josh Allen, and know, all right, we're not coming here and thinking we can win with 20. Like, they've got to be able to score some points.
Well, this team is going to have to win without scoring, even against the good teams, without scoring, you know, 27, 28 points. I mean, that's just how they're going to be. More times than not, it's going to happen like that. That's how they've built the roster. But the what I think the team has to do, guys, is ultimately, they again, back to the efficiency, back to avoiding bad situations, back to Kansas City knowing that, hey, man, we can just walk our safeties up into A-gap and we can have free runners at the quarterback. Like, that's bull jive football. That's bad football. That's piss poor football. Like, it's one thing to go out there and get beat. It's another thing to get smothered the way Baltimore smothered you 2 years ago in the playoffs. And it's another thing to go out there and in critical moments of the game, you just completely wet the bed. Right? It's not about talent. It's not about, like, I think that's what ultimately got Bobby Slowick fired, was you just didn't have answers late in the game. It just got all came to a head right there in the biggest moment. Those are the things that the Pat Mahomes, the Drew Breeses, the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, obviously, in those moments, they've got answers, right? They may get beat, but they've got answers. They've got a hat for a hat, or they've got a receiver that's releasing, that's hot. Their quarterback, they're not sitting back there. And, I mean, how many times did you see Tom Brady just go a game and get the hell beat out of him and consistently in a game? It just didn't happen. It's not because they had great offensive lines, because Tom Brady was smart and could avoid those situations. Like, they... To me, that's the difference here, is I don't care where you end up in the league in terms of points scored ranking, but when it comes time, you better be able to have answers.
And to that point, and going back to what we were talking about earlier with CJ being a leader and in the culture that the Astros have created, that this journey starts in training camp because it's a little bit new. Laramie's now gone. It's now CJ's team. Yeah. It's now Nick's team. D'Amico's handed the reins over. He's going to ask a lot of CJ. Do they do the little things well throughout training camp consistently in the heat when no one wants to be there? You can be the Raiders, get through training camp. Great, cool. Like, good. Like, this is different if you're trying to have a conversation come January. If not, like, let's good. Let's go get the playoffs, well, lose on Saturday at 3.
The interesting thing to that point, Will, is we go back to the Nick Caley coming in, right? The rotating... The turnstile, if you will, at the offensive coordinator position is you've got, again, the top teams in this league are figuring out how to solve their problem from last year, A-gap pressure from the defense, from the safeties, or whatever it may be, or are getting our tight end, you know, manned up in a pass protection on a damn defensive end, a rush in. Like, how do we fix those problems? How do we keep that from happening? Like, Houston's installing offense. So, you know, that is the kicker here, that if we're going to talk about slow starts, that's why. You know, we'll see how the beginning of the season goes, but I know late in that season, when you get in any way you can, when you do get in, by that point, they better have answers.
They just can't have these runs of games where they're just absolutely stifled. Yeah. Right? Like
especially in the second half.
Yes. Like, they had moments where it was halves where they were just... The Packers game, they just were stifled. What was it, 87 yards passing or something in that game? Like the Ravens, where they scored two, and it was Kamari Lassiter.
If like you
that,
went,
that can't happen yeah. in those games. Even the playoff game, they had really what felt like one real drive. That drive in the third quarter that was like 13 minutes. Outside of that, it was it was really kind of choppy.
If you go back on my X account on like a game day on Sunday, go look. I would always break it down. The amount of three and outs that that offense had throughout the course of a game was abysmal. So then you're leaning on the defense yeah. constantly, short fields, turnovers, three and outs. Like, and I don't mean three and out like 9 yards. I mean three and out negative one, negative four, two. Horrible.
And that's what I mean. Horrible. That's what I mean, Will. If you're going to lean, as yes. you said, on that defense. Now, we've seen teams get to these levels leaning on these defenses, but again, that also means how good is this defense?
I get right?
Like Seattle could lean on their defense back in the day when they had them dudes over there. Trent Dilfer could lean on his defense with Baltimore, right? I think Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid leaned on their defense 2 years ago a couple of times where they won games under 20 points. Is this defense going to be that good where you can just lean back? I don't know if we know that yet. I think we know they're going to be good, but I don't know if we know they can just carry ball games for them.
But to be fair to those teams that you mentioned, like Russell Wilson was there, Marshawn Lynch was there, Jamal Lewis was there. They had dudes that could show up in moments
yeah.
when they needed to. I don't know that you can rely on the Texans offense last year to show up in a moment ever when you needed them to. It was so rare. At the very least this year, the Texans offense has to move the ball. It maybe they have red zone problems. Maybe they kick a lot of field goals and they don't get in the end zone. At the very least, they cannot leave short fields for their defense every time.
Will, always a pleasure, man.
My honor.
All right.
Hey, follow me on YouTube, everybody, at Will Kunkel 5. Follow me on YouTube. That's Kicking right. It with Kunkel.
Kicking It with Kunkel's back.
Baby. Yeah, baby. Let's go.
All right, Tiger. There we go.
Holy smokes.
Real or fake coming up next.
That's that Coors Light energy right there, y'all.